In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
I'm sure all of us have had the experience of talking to someone, engaging in an animated conversation on some particular subject, and yet being aware of a communication going on another level. The other person might say, "How are you?" And she or he might say, "I'm doing fine." But you would know, just like me, when I say I'm doing fine. But you would know, that person would know, that what he or she was really saying was something quite different. And part of being empathetic and sensitive to others and just being a good friend involves the development of this ability, of being able to really hear someone, what they're really saying, whether it's crying out for help or expressing anger or some other deeply felt emotion or opinion, often expressed in the most common, mundane, casual conversation. And I would say that the development of this ability is part and parcel of our Christian vocation. In our involvement with each other, to be able to go beyond the surface, the trivial, the casual, and relate to each other in ways that are significant. This sensitivity is important, not only in our relations with one another, but in our whole approach to the religious life, primarily in our approach to the Holy Scriptures. We need to develop this ability to be able to see and understand what the Scriptures are really trying to communicate, to trust our instincts and go beyond the readily understandable, almost be able to read between the lines and get the point the writers are trying to make. Now, this ability doesn't come easily, and we need to be familiar with the stories and the teachings expressed in the Bible. The Holy Scriptures, before we can develop this feel for them, when we know them, we can go beyond the surface. The three lessons appointed for today are good examples of what I'm talking about. Most people are familiar with the story of Ruth, that makes up our Old Testament lesson. And most people think the central point of the story is to show Ruth's loyalty and love for her mother-in-law, Naomi. And of course, the story of Ruth does that, but it also has a deeper meaning. This passage is often read at weddings, but it really has nothing to do with weddings. It's about how daughters-in-law can get along with their mothers-in-law. Always a tricky subject there. So it does show that Ruth's loyalty and love of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And of course, the story of Ruth does that. but it also has a deeper meaning. Now, most people are familiar with Paul's letters to Timothy, and most interpret them as letters of encouragement from the older, experienced Paul to the inexperienced and youthful Timothy. And of course, they do. But they also have a deeper meaning. And in today's gospel, we have the story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. And only one showing gratitude. And most people see this as a story showing Jesus' power and compassion in a healing miracle, and also illustrating human nature, in that only one came back to express gratitude to the giver of the wholeness and the miracle. Well, this story certainly does contain these elements, but it also has a deeper meaning. So all the 9 were cured, but only one was healed. So there's a difference between being cured and being healed, because being healed implies a holistic approach to God's love and His forgiveness, and we kneeling before Him in thanksgiving for His healing. We can be cured of a lot of stuff and not be healed. And this is another meaning of this story that we should reflect upon. So when you look at these stories and reflect on them for a while, and if you're at all sensitive, you will see that all of them have something in common in their teaching and purpose. And this is to show the compassion of God for the outcast. And to illustrate that Jesus came for all and not just for the elect of any particular culture or race or nationality. The theme of universal messianic salvation is alluded to in all 3 of today's lessons. It's most beautifully expressed in the story of Ruth, a story that predates Christ's coming over 1,000 years. Ruth was not a Jew. She was a Moabite, which is in what we call present-day Jordan, country of Jordan. So she was an Arab. Yet, this is the intriguing thing about our faith. It always surprises us. It never is dull or predictable or prosaic. So she married the son of Naomi and Elimelech, all those Jews living in what we call present-day Jordan. And when her widowed mother-in-law went back to, of all places, Bethlehem, Ruth went with her. But the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 23:3 strictly forbids the intermarriage of Arabs and Jews. And yet, the book of Ruth was accepted by the church fathers because of its more inclusive view of the mercy and love of God for everyone, Jew or Arab. And the other thing about Ruth, when she went back with Naomi to Bethlehem, which we know is the city of David, she eventually remarried and became the great-grandmother of David, the great hero of the Jews, and the ancestor of our Lord himself. So, included in the ancestry of our Savior is this Gentile Arab. This woman who was a foreigner, a Gentile, an outcast. And in Paul's letters to St. Timothy, we see Paul, who had been a much respected member of the establishment, reduced to the status of a common criminal in prison because of his faith. An outcast in fetters. Do you know what fetters are? They're handcuffs. Oh, you know, I know you know only too well. Handcuffs in prison. And in the gospel, we see only one of the 10 to return to Jesus, to express gratitude. And guess who he was? A Samaritan, a foreigner, an outcast. The other, different. So these lessons proclaim Christ as the bringer of universal salvation. All anyone has to do is to respond in faith. And as St. Peter says, truly I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So all of us, the world has been given a great gift, a gift that gives life, meaning, purpose, and joy. All we have to do is accept it and respond to it, because the grace itself enables our response. So we are to be moved, inspired, by these examples of our Lord's mercy to those who are far off and to those who are near. And then we are to be empowered by that grace to accept those and to serve those and to love those who are far off, who were far off, but now are near. This is the good news of the gospel of Christ. Amen.